hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, the international break is almost over.
And thank goodness for that. I am so looking forward to a weekend of real soccer. I mean club soccer.
Soccer. I don't know why we're so club over country for some reason. Not that we're club over country, but just, I guess it's just results of being Canadian.
It's because we have a daily show, and the club season, or so when the club season's not on, our entire numbers grind to a halt and everyone just takes a vacation. But I'm happy for those that are still around. Go Canada-ish, or one goal, U.S. with the result, Mexico with a result, and fun day. El Salvador with a funny game, and it's all good.
Argentina with the result. We'll talk about the results in the international break over games yesterday. We'll talk about weird results in CONCACAF that gives Canada hope in the fact that we're trying to qualify for the hexagonal championship. But let's start, Dwayne, by talking about Major League Soccer for a second. Team number 28, we were wondering, we know Nashville's going to come, and like Sacramento, they got the short end of the stick for a long time. But finally, it's looking like Sacramento will be team number 28 in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, and look, I've been talking about Sacramento and Major League Soccer with Evan Ream, our regular guest on the subject, and others since before you, Kevin, like 2013 or so. So it is long coming, this particular news, and really came down to ownership. It always does with Major League Soccer. They got the ownership group to improve. They've got the money to pay whatever, you know, ransom that MLS creates for them, and good for them, because look, they've waited long. It will be a good market. It will be, you know, good crowds, interesting crowds. Whether they have the resources after they pay this fee to compete, that's a good question. I worry that they might become the next FC Cincinnati. I don't think they're going to become the next Atlanta United. It's really a difficult thing to say, but they have waited a long time for this. They have stuck with it. The fans are still there. I would have given up a while ago, to be honest. And good for them. Good for them, Kevin.
And they're going to probably be announced in the next few weeks, according to multiple sources. One that we can name, because it's Evan Ream who mentioned it on his personal Twitter that he's hearing the same thing. It's pretty much all but done. And no one would be surprised if Sacramento is announced in the next few weeks. So Sacramento, here's a couple of information on Sacramento, in case you don't know. Sacramento is the capital city of the United States of California and is the seat of Sacramento County. Located at the confluence of the Sacramento River and the American River in Northern California's Sacramento Valley, Sacramento's estimated 2018 population is 501,334, makes it the sixth largest city in California and the ninth largest capital in the United States. Sacramento is the seat of the California legislature and the governor of California, making it the state's political center and a hub for lobbying and think tanks. Sacramento is also the cultural and economic core of the Sacramento metropolitan area, which had a 2010 population of 2,414,783, making it the fifth largest in California, Dwayne.
Fifth largest in California, which is not insignificant, but at the same time, you mentioned the metropolitan population there, and that's what should shock everyone, because this is not a big city like typically we've seen come in. I mean, Nashville's kind of hip. I mean, Austin's kind of weird, but that's a weird situation altogether. Other than that, though, this is a center that not necessarily MLS would have picked on its own. And the real news here is that they were forced to this. They were forced with this, with a consistent showing up of fans to make this a viable market for soccer in the United States and in North America, and the fans should absolutely be excited about this because they forced it. They are the reason why this team is here, because there is no other reason that MLS would look at Sacramento as a market, which is, I don't know, 47th biggest TV market. We need JT on here for that.
Yeah, it's, but it's down the pecking order.
But not big. I mean, the only other, you know, major team in that city is of course the Kings in the NBA, and they are kind of a non-factor in many ways. They haven't ever been anything, and they just don't register on a national scale. That's probably unfortunate, because if you look at Sacramento, if you look deep into Sacramento, you'll find it to be kind of a funky little place, and a fun little place, and I think a place that really is going to embrace Major League Soccer, and I fully applaud the adding of this team. I'm a little surprised they did, because it is so down that pecking order, because it is so, it's not at the cool kids table.
It's not sexy. Right? It's not sexy. Well, let's call it what it is, but it's okay. It's for the right reason. It's because Sacramento showed in the USL for a while now, I would say for a good 5 to 6 years, a consistent high support from the team, from the fans for the team. The attendances over 10,000 average this year, so still in USL, the highest attendances in the USL. Well, Cincinnati is not there anymore, so you don't have to compete with Cincy. It's 23,000 back in the day in the USL. Well, like last year, back in the day, last year. With Sacramento, Dwayne, we've seen Sacramento with 13,000, 10,000 for a regular season game against not like teams that would draw a lot of people in the USL. But what's surprising to us, Dwayne, is we imagined that Sacramento was going to be the next Rochester. The narrative was easy. It'd be like, oh yeah, they forgot about Sacramento. And Sacramento, no one cares. Nobody goes there. It's forgotten about. And we could have seen the attendances drop over the last 5 years. After all the teams, after you hear Miami coming in, then you see Atlanta coming in. Be in front of you, Orlando, New York. You see all those teams coming into Major League Soccer before you. If you're a fan of Sacramento, you could have raised a white flag. You could have left. You could have said, you know what, we're never going to get there. And it's because the fans stayed. It's because if you're listening to it in Sacramento, because you stayed in your seat for 5 years trying to encourage this USL team, you're rewarded with an MLS team now. It's the only reason, Dwayne, you're right. They were forced, and it's the fans, the supporters of Sacramento, by their assiduity in attendances and supporting this club, that are giving this club a Major League Soccer shot.
No, absolutely, 100%. It's a good story that way for sure. I called them the Rochester Raging Rhinos for a lot of times, because I thought that MLS might just wait them out until finally they gave up hope and eventually faded away. Look at Rochester right now; they really did fade away.
Thankfully, that's sad though. Like Rochester, the history of soccer, of lower league soccer, and Rochester is so rich and now just in oblivion. It's a sad story. I miss my Dino's barbecue.
Rochester should be a Major League Soccer. This is the point I'm making, is that they deserved it back in the day. It would have been a perfect market at the time, but Major League Soccer doesn't operate that way. Major League Soccer operates as a corporation, basically, and they're going to make decisions that are entirely based on the finances involved in them, and that's just the reality. And we defend Major League Soccer a lot in the show, because we have some of our listeners are not necessarily enamored with the league in a way that maybe you'd hope for people to watch this league. But the reality is, there's flaws too, and this is one of the flaws. They're very focused on the bottom line. So Sacramento has bucked that trend. Cincinnati did too. They got in quicker because they met a need in Major League Soccer's perspective in terms of filling the gap that they felt they had in the Midwest Sacramento doesn't do, because there are a lot of teams in California, and San Jose is not necessarily happy with this, but thankfully they're avoiding this. That's what Evan Ream, in that tweet you mentioned, said, that the only thing holding this back from being announced right now is they have to work out the protection rights for the homegrown players, which is ridiculous that they have protection rights for homegrown players. But anyway.
Well, the geography of San Jose versus Sacramento. I think it's a 4-hour drive, close to that, a little less maybe. I've did the drive before, but it's on the way to the Sierra Nevada. So I don't remember if the whole drive was 5 hours or if it was 4 hours between San Jose and Sacramento. But it's at least 3 hours, I believe. It's a very, very boring drive, by the way, because on the way to Sacramento, it's flat. And it's flat. And it's like not like gray, but it's beige. That's how I describe it. But no, it is a popular place to... It's just a regular town. And we'll see a blue-collar city, hopefully. Of course, it's a political town, too. But it's a statewide political. It's not like it's federal. So hopefully we have a success story in the Sacramento Republic or whatever the branding will be. We'll be joining Major League Soccer in 2 to 3 years. Now, Dwayne, that being said, there is a potential danger, of course. You don't want to just come Major League Soccer and be in the bottom of the league for a few years, which could be the case. Sacramento, now they have an opportunity that like Minnesota did and like the Montreal Impact did and like Orlando did. You have an established team, roster, front office to build your team around for your year number one. What is their biggest sinkhole that they have to just walk around to make sure they don't fall into the being an expansion team sinkhole?
Well, I think the most recent one is the great example. They have to build the roster correctly. And you mentioned a lot of those teams here. You know, all have really struggled to make that jump. And in some ways, it has been an advantage to come in with a blank slate, which is a complete opposite of what we thought years ago. I mean, when Portland came in, I remember everyone saying, oh, you want to come in with the established roster so you can build on those players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the difference between then and now is that now the top end talent matters so much. So really, to answer your question directly, is what they need to do is they need to make the right TAM and DP signings, and they need to have the money to make impact DP signings off the start. And this is going to be, it's going to be an issue for Sacramento, because for all the reasons that MLS avoided going there for as long as they did, players are going to go, you know, when you're in Europe and you're talking, I might finish my career in MLS. Are you talking about Sacramento? No.
Well, it's still nice though. You're part of California. It's okay. It's not as warm as LA would be. It's not as fancy as San Jose or the Bay Area could be, because let's face it, it's not the San Jose part that's fancy in the Bay Area. But yeah, you're so close to San Francisco. I guess that's the enticing aspect of being a San Jose player. But when you look at Sacramento, you're like, yeah, oh yeah, if you're an outdoorsman, you can go hunting not too far away in the Sierra Nevadas. Reno is not too far away if you're like a gambler on a budget. So there's that.
We're the red part of California, if you're politically inclined. Look.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, Reno. That's interesting. Green, sorry. Do you think Reno 1868 or 1898, whatever that name of that team is in the USL, will he become the partner of Sacramento?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that would make some sense to have that USL partnership for sure. Attracting people there is going to be a challenge, though, is the bottom line, unless you have the cash, because ultimately, geography doesn't matter as much as the bank account does when it comes to stuff like this, and that's just common sense. But they're going to need to pay, and they're going to need to pay a premium, because they're not one of three cities that MLS or players coming into MLS think about when they're thinking about coming to MLS. And those three cities, in case you're unaware, are one that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that one, but you go ahead.
And the New York City.
LA.
That's a big one. And Los Angeles. There you go. That's MLS to every MLS player outside this country.
And the team that doesn't exist yet, Dwayne's talking about Miami. Because Miami's not even there yet. And it's already like a destination.
Yes.
Just
take my talents to South Beach.
It's my decision. The decision. Lionel Messi might have a program suit on SportsCenter or somewhere saying, I've decided to take my talent to South Beach. I'm going to go play God. For... Well, he will.
Like, how much you want to bet? To be blunt, though, does anyone listening to this show think anything other than of all these teams coming in, that the first two do what LAFC and what Atlanta have done is going to be Miami.
Of course.
International. No, of course it is. Yeah.
The Flamingos. Like,
so long as they can find a place to play. You know, they might just play on the beach. That'd be fun, too.
The Miami team who's going to play in Fort Lauderdale for 2 years.
Yeah, but they're not going to put that, you know, it'll be Miami star, tiny, tiny print, Fort Lauderdale.
You imagine Messi or Ronaldo signing for Miami. Taking pictures in front of the stadium now. He like, yeah. Really? What did I sign up for? I thought this was going to be fun. Where's my stadium? Oh, it's not built yet? Jeez. It's going to be a long time.
It'll be interesting to watch that build because, look, I think the Galaxy over the recent years are proving that MLS 2.0 thinking is no longer the way to win and build a championship team in this league. I mean, you know, maybe Latan will get bored and decide to win the MLS Cup in the next couple of weeks and prove me wrong here. But
he would have to defend for that. And he doesn't like to defend. Like, Latan doesn't track back.
Maybe 50-year-old David Beckham will come out of retirement to be an owner player. That'd be fun.
Hey, you can still do free kicks at 50 years old. I don't care.
There you go.
Hey, that's one of the things I can scratch.
He doesn't look 50, so he could pull it off. Jeez. It's fine.
I look older. I look older than him. He's got more hair than I do, and I'm not even 40 yet. That's one of my bucket list items that I'm happy I've seen, though. I've seen a David Beckham free kick goal in front of my eyes, 2012. LA Galaxy coming to Montreal, that Olympic.
It was back when I was on those apps that you move left or right. I had that in my profile that I met him once. So, you know, it was a good conversation starter.
Yeah, Tinder. That's how I met my wife. Shout out to my wife if she's listening. Now,
shout out to Sam.
Exactly. And now moving on. Yesterday, Dwayne, Cuba, Canada, Cayman Islands. 1-0. 2 yellow cards for Daniel Henry. Quite a 2-game stretch for Daniel Henry. He scores a goal, plays well in a 6-0 win over Cuba, and then travels to the Cayman Island, gets 2 yellow cards, and Canada wins 1-0.
Yeah, kind of a weak second yellow, but
that's true.
I was watching with our guest yesterday, Rudy Schuler, and several other people last night at the Cloak and Dagger here in Toronto. And when he got that second yellow card, I was like, oh, okay, well, they should be fine still. They're still a better team than Cuba. And they did dominate possession after that, even with 10 men.
82.
And then
82%.
Rudy, yes. And then Rudy did kindly point out to me that the other side of that yellow card, that second yellow card, is now that he misses the U.S. match. And who's going to play in the back line against the U.S. now? And
I Will Johnson?
Oh. That's the issue with this yellow card. It's like now they have to figure out a way to play the first game, the game that we thought that they might be able to win without their best defender, and they don't. And, you know, the best defender is kind of like, there's a lot of crude analogies I could do here. It would be like...
It's like sex. Even bad sex is better than most of the things.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like bad pizza. It's true.
Yeah. Pizza's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's kind of good. That's the saying from... Reality Bites. Was it Reality Bites or was it...
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, way back when. Anyway.
My 2 cents. I don't know. But, Canada is going to miss Daniel Henry. Did you call Daniel Henry the best central defender in Canada? Jesus.
Well, he is. And he's underrated by a lot of people because they remember him as a 20-year-old making mistakes for TFC, but he also had a lot of raw talent when you watched him play. But
I remember a 23-year-old making mistakes for Vancouver, but that's another story, I guess.
Daniel Henry's weakness is that he makes big errors. Okay, he has a lot of good things to his game. If you watch him closely, he does. But he will make bonehead plays once every 4 or 5 games, and that's what holds him back.
Like I would have taken the 5-0 win instead of 6-0 on Saturday if that says that he doesn't have a second yellow. You know, as high as the highs are, if the lows are going to be as low, maybe settle down for something in between. I don't know.
Yeah, look, well, as I say, it didn't really hurt them. They did get the result last night. 1-0 is not what the scoreline anyone wanted heading into this, and it was a little tense at the end, even though Cuba had no possession, as you say.
18% for Cuba, 82% for Canada. I double-checked it 3 times. I'm like, this can't be. It must be a mistake. Let me check another site for stats. No mistake.
Couldn't break them down. Which, you know, it's essentially, I suspect that's what Cuba did, is that they went into this game going, let's not be embarrassed, and decided to play as low block as they could. But
yeah,
you still want to break them down a little bit more than that, and it doesn't really give you confidence that they were going to, you know, sweep the U.S., does it? No, yeah. Not really at all. The U.S. with the 1-1 draw against Uruguay last night, although Uruguay was probably... They were a little fortunate to get that draw, but nonetheless, they did.
They look more like Paraguay to me, but Uruguay looked good, but without Suarez and Cavani and the big-name players. What we didn't even talk about the Cuba situation, where they were in Canada. What's the number that I joke about on Friday?
Well, they had 5 defections.
I joked
about
5.
2 before the game and 3 after.
I joked. I'm like, yeah, how many? 5? Over under 5? Well, it was 5. I don't have the names in front of me, but the player of a generation, apparently, one of those 5 players, was their best player, their captain, who was the best player in last year's Gold Cup and the Olympic qualifying process, and maybe one of the best players since Alonso, Osvaldo Alonso, who was one of the most famous Cuban player defection story. He played for the, of course, Seattle Sounders for a long time, was the soul of the Sounders for a long time, and now is playing with Minnesota United. Will we see any of these players, do you think, in Canada, or are we just a waypoint for them to cross the border down south and maybe find a USL team willing to sponsor them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I mentioned on my Twitter account that I'd be fine with making them. Well, they should be domestic status in Canada. If they are granted refugee status, they would be considered to be domestics within the CAMPL perspective. So maybe that might be an incentive for someone to stay. Typically, what they do is they walk. The reason they defect in Toronto is because there is a U.S. embassy on University Avenue that they can just walk to.
They can walk from the stadium. It's about 20 minutes to the embassy.
Yeah, and that's typically what they do. Some of them have stayed before. As I mentioned, I think before, Ben Rycroft did a profile on one of the players that defected in the 2012 situation. Back when he was working for Metro as the editor there, he did a profile on them. And he had stayed for a year or so, but I believe even that player eventually went to the United States. And that's partly because they have, Cuban Americans, that's a really big expat population down there. So they have some supports that they might not have here.
And resources too. I think there's some resources as well. And when you talk about being able to either send money back home and other places, it's all back channels because officially there's no channels to do that. But if you're in Miami or if you have contacts in Miami, then you might be easy. You might have a way to not communicate because phones are phones. You can talk to people, but to have a way to send money or other things you could do between family members in those two countries.
No, for sure. Also, you know, climate-wise, it's a little different in Toronto than it is in Miami. So there's that.
Are you saying that the Cubans with the facts are going to have a weather shock if they stay here for a few months? Toronto's not bad. Like, imagine if the embassy was in Fort McMurray. That's what you call a culture shock.
Yeah, exactly. Toronto's weather's fine. I remember when MLS... Well, obviously, we remember when MLS Cup was here, but I remember the first MLS Cup in Toronto in 2010, the one between Colorado and Dallas. Everyone was like, oh, this is be awful. And we're Canadians in November going, this is fine.
We're in shorts. Like, what are you talking about? It's barely
it's like
zero.
5 degrees Celsius. What the hell are you people moaning about?
No, exactly. All right, let's continue to take a look at the results of the teams that we follow a little bit more closely than others. But with Canada, Cuba, Dwayne, there was a few other interesting results that does give Canada hope in climbing the stupid freaking CONCACAF ranking, using FIFA ranking points to be in the top 6 in CONCACAF. Canada, with their win, combined with El Salvador's loss. Yes, El Salvador lost to the Dominican Republic. Dwayne, you watched the game. First of all, congratulations for making it through that game. But second of all, what can you tell us about it?
Well, DR got an early goal in the game, and they held on for dear life. El Salvador was dominating, could not score for the life. Hit the crossbar at one point. But what was funny about this game, and if you've watched El Salvador, if you've been victim of CONCACAF before and the amazing level of time wasting and just shenanigans that happens, and it frustrates you as a North American, it would be a karma game, because what happened in the game in stoppage time, there was 5 minutes of stoppage time. About 30 seconds in, one of the DR players had a, I guess, a muscle pull, we'll call it generously. And that took 3 minutes.
Which muscle, the story doesn't say, but a muscle pull for some.
Yeah, for something that happened to the poor guy. He was hurt. He was very hurt. And he was on the ground, and he had to, you know, get some people out there to look at it. And then he couldn't quite get up yet, so they had to bring the stretcher out. And the stretcher, man, that's too much. He got up then. And anyway, long story short, about 3 minutes passed as this guy just rolls on the ground during stoppage time. So it went from about 30 seconds into stoppage of 5 minutes to like a minute left. So we all said, well, he'll add that 3 minutes, right? Nope. Blew the whistle right at five. And the El Salvadoran players were swarming him. And all I could think of watching this is karma. It does exist.
CONCACAF. When you need something done, make a phone call. I don't know. But those two results, Wade, weird. Okay, well, we've talked about it last week. Canada, for them to be in top six of CONCACAF, not only they need to like win every single thing and not concede. Well, concede doesn't matter. Winning games matters. And winning important games matters because of the multiplier, the importance of the game multiplier. That's actually something. But on top of being perfect and going on a great run, like a 10 to 15 game winning streak run Canada needs, they also need results to go their way. El Salvador losing to Dominican Republic is one of them. Before that, Bermuda beating Panama in Panama was another one. At least CONCACAF is CONCACAF. You know, at least there's, you never know. Any given day, right? And on any given Saturday or Sunday, I guess a team can pull off an upset somewhere in CONCACAF.
But the thing is, it's such a frustrating process, because even when those results happen, Canada wins two games in this break. They win, you know, one dominating, and they grind out one on the road. Nonetheless, they're 2-0. The two teams that you talk about that they're chasing, El Salvador and Panama, they both falter, but yet in this ranking system, Canada barely makes a dent on it, and that's what makes it very frustrating. Because unfortunately, there's a live FIFA ranking site that gives you live rankings. Unfortunately, despite me pointing out the press release and many, many times to him, he refuses to change his multiplier to 25 from 15. So he's using a 15 multiplier. So using the 15 multiplier, Canada, he needs to see it from FIFA, and CONCACAF's not good enough, which may be fair enough.
Which is maybe we should take his stand. Maybe he's right. But you know what? The image I had in my mind, which made me snarky a little bit, I just imagine you writing email to the guy from the website, dude, you're not doing your thing properly. Do it correctly. We should be hired. The guy's like, who are you again?
Well, it's a guy and it's somewhere in Asia. And I was like, he kept responding to me as buddy. Buddy, 0.15 is right. And I'd be like, but the press release that I just sent you says 0.25. And then three other people said they agreed with me. And he went, I'll check it after next month. So anyway, long story short, this 0.15 multiplier, if you look at the 0.15 multiplier, Canada is still ranked below El Salvador and Panama by a considerable amount. It's 1333, 1322, and 1317. Carrasco is 1315. So just fine candidate in that ranking. Carrasco, actually, they got the draw last night. And thoughts to them for the death of their backup keeper. Unfortunate black mark over this entire international break. But the point is, why am I staring at a site with numbers to decide who goes? God, why would CONCACAF do this? This is the most idiotic thing ever done. I cannot believe that I'm doing this, that I'm looking at numbers, that I'm doing math.
I believe it. What I don't believe is that people in places that are supposedly decision-making place. But again, I was going to say, like, we don't understand. But again, it's not for us, right? CONCACAF is not for you and I. CONCACAF is not for Canada, United States, or Mexico. The powers of CONCACAF are located in small islands in Central America and the Caribbean, because every single one of CONCACAF's entities have a vote. And that vote is going to lead to a re-election or to an election. And guess what? It's coming soon. So I shouldn't be surprised. The cynical side of me should be more and more present, but I guess I am naive, and I still feel like, oh no, the sporting aspect of this is not fair. It should be sporting. It should be on the sporting side, have a chance to win. But it's about the money in politics. It's never about the sport.
Well, yeah, which is why the format that makes so much sense, too much sense to ever get in, will never go in, because it would then make it possible that the U.S. and Mexico could conceivably not qualify for the CACs, which, God help that ever happening, right? And I mean, they would. Look, they would. The U.S. is probably going to beat Canada. Mexico is going to win its group, League A group. So, like, there's very little risk to this, but they do not want to expose themselves at all to the possibility that Mexico and the U.S. are going to be not going to be in the X, because it's money. It's money to the region. The region, then that money gets distributed to those small islands who also get to play themselves. So, yes, this is a format that is designed completely around this. What I like in concept, this Nations League, but what I'm beginning to hate because of what it's done to World Cup qualifying, which should be the one pure thing that they do. But unfortunately, and I've met Victor many times before, think he's a decent guy. Unfortunately, to me, this is just streaks of more CONCACAF, CONCACAFing. It's just ridiculous, this format. Absolutely ridiculous.
I agree, and I refuse for now to put solely the blame on one person for this, because as much as we think the person in charge or the spokesperson, because what truly is a president of CONCACAF? It's a glorified spokesperson that does have some say in meetings to drive a conversation, to push a certain narrative. He doesn't get to vote on everything. Some things he probably doesn't agree on. And they're still getting through, because it's not about just his opinion either. So, no, it's... Yeah. The governance of sports, the system of governance of sports, was built like the political system for times when people couldn't communicate and talk to each other in an efficient time. That time is now in the past. We can communicate with anyone on the planet in a fraction of a second. We should be better. We should have a better way to govern the sport that we love. That's a bit maybe too deep for a Wednesday at 11:34.
I don't ask for much. I just want World Cup qualifying to be competitive, to actually have a sporting reality to it and not be based on arbitrary ranking systems. And they are arbitrary, and they use results from 4 years ago. Like, at the start of every World Cup cycle, if you're listening to this and you still don't agree with this, I don't know why you're listening, but if you are... Name me another sport where at the start of the year there isn't a reset button pressed. Name me another one anywhere, even American college football.
Okay, here's one. Tennis. Tennis, the results of the two previous years are used for your rankings.
Sure, but those rankings don't matter when the games play.
That's true.
You're still playing and you have to, like, yes, it affects your draw, and for sure it's important, but and I'm okay with the rankings influencing where the draw is. If you had put the top six teams in an advantageous position to qualify for the Hex, but they still had to do something, I probably would be irritated by that, but I would accept that as still sporting in its nature, because they still would have to do it, which is essentially what the League A situation is, because the top six teams didn't have to go through that qualifying process last year, right? So that's fine. So, but even, like I said, even the NCAA football, which is the closest thing this is to, where they have some ridiculous point system that just determines who makes the playoffs rather than just have them play out. But, you know, I get it in that particular scenario, because,
you know, there's 2,000 teams. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to have a 5-year tournament to see who wins.
Yeah. Well, precisely. And, you know, they have to at least pretend they're athletes, they're students, right? So you can't have them play every week. So anyway, but in this particular scenario, it makes no damn sense. And I cannot believe that anyone approved this stupid format. It's ridiculous.
It is. Oh. It is. Oh, so we didn't want to spend 20 minutes on it, but I guess we did. Let's continue quickly. So 1-0 Canada versus Cuba. The other two games that are interesting to us, you saw the score early on in the ticker in the bottom of your screen. United States 1, Uruguay 1. The game happened in St. Louis, Busch Stadium. Yeah, there's a bunch of nice soccer-specific stadium across the United States. And you have, like, Red Bull Arena, 36. Oh, sure, let's play in St. Louis in a baseball stadium. Why not? But I get it. It's to start these professional soccer conversations. St. Louis getting a team in Major League Soccer in 2 years was announced a few weeks ago. Now, this game was announced a long time ago, but 1-1 draw against Uruguay without Cavani, without as well Luis Suarez. But we have to say no Bradley, no Altidore, no Pulisic, and a lot of players missing for the United States of America.
Yeah, and look, Uruguay had most of the play, I think, but U.S. wasn't out of it by any means. They got a lucky goal. Jordan Morris with the, you know, was there to put home a deflection that might not have gone in 90% of times. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. They got the result that they kind of needed after the loss to Mexico. You know, Mexico then goes out and gets its ass handed to it by Argentina last night as well. So if you're the U.S., you combine those results and you might be a little bit frightened about the world standing of the United States national team.
You sure you want to go to the World Cup? You sure you want to play against Argentina in a competitive game? Oh, yeah, but it's Argentina. That's fine. When they get to the semifinal or final, that's when they collapse. So we're good for a while.
Yeah, it was a surprising result too. I mean, I didn't anticipate that by any means. In fact, I would have agreed with the thoughts of many that Mexico really should be a top 10 team in the world right now, but they didn't show it last night. U.S., as I said, they get the result. It's a friendly, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. But after losing 3-0 to Mexico at home, they needed to do something to sort of stop the folks with the flame, the torches outside the door, basically.
The mob? The mob with their pick and forks? Like, ah.
Yeah, look, as an outsider of the as a very informed outsider of the U.S. men's national team program, I will say it's much like Major League Soccer. What do we say about Major League Soccer? We say it is, you know, at the same time, it is both the most overrated and underrated league in the world. I think the U.S. men's national team at many times is, at the same time, both the most overrated and underrated national team in the world. They're never as good as that their fans will tell them they are, and they're never as bad as their fans will tell you they are.
They're never as good as they're never as good as the hype and the expectations that media put on them when it get close to a big competition, saying no, they're not gonna win the damn World Cup. But also, they might be better than the rest of CONCACAF if it's on Mexico by a long shot.
Yeah, you know, I can make the argument. Costa Rica's kind of on downswell. Jamaica seems to be moving up. U.S. Jamaica, that'd probably be a close game right now. Other than that, they're the favorite against everyone except Mexico. And you know, they're not the favorite against Mexico. They might be co-favorite against Costa Rica and Jamaica. The rest of the Confederation are massive underdogs against them, right?
Like not even close.
Yeah, the fact they didn't qualify for the World Cup last time was an outlier.
Was a fluke. Like for all the things to happen at the same time, like those 5 minutes, it was crazy. It was like a swing of 3 goals or something. It was insane.
Yeah. And for them to want to blow the whole system, I get it as a fan. Fans are going to fan. And I get it. But it's you need to have that step away from them to have a perspective on them, which is why I recommend that Americans listen to us, because we have a bit of a rational take on them. We're not going to ever say that they're the world beaters that a lot of people want them to be, but we're at the same time not going to want to blow the whole system up because they have an unfortunate fluky result against in Costa Rica, right? Or in TNT. It was just a fluke. It was a fluke. They missed the World Cup because of a fluke. And because Jordan Klinsmann made a nasty tweet about them, about ha ha ha, I didn't even notice to my phone. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But until Jurgen Klinsmann had them in a hole because Jurgen Klinsmann isn't a good coach. Well, there you go.
The fact that he hasn't coached since might tell you all you need to know as well for Jurgen Klinsmann. Yeah. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Laramie. We're back tomorrow with Club Talk. We're going to get ready slowly for the weekend. Look at the lay of the land in the world of football with a soccer perspective. Until then, make sure you follow our premium feed on the Sports Podcast Network on Patreon. So that's located at patreon.com/sports. Podcast Network exclusive shows. Right now you have the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for $2 a month. More to come in the upcoming months. More sports, more niche. There's a niche sport that you love and you will love to see covered on the Sports Podcast Network. You can always communicate with us easily, social media, email, anywhere you would like to get in touch with us. It is possible to do so. You can find the podcast version everywhere you find your podcasts. Thanks to all the guests we had so far this week. And yesterday we had the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, and James Grossi, Rudy Schuler came on Soccer Today, and we're able to as well have the same conversation with us. We posted it on Two Solitude. So we do appreciate your support, and it helps us devote a lot of time to produce and do our shows. The Five Ring Podcast will be recorded later today, and you can look for this on our website in the upcoming few hours. Until then, make sure you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, to get our video coverage and live coverage as soon as they are available. But until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.